We're doing Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Shin Lamed Tet. We're up to the fifth chapter of Sha'al HaSinah. We were talking about hatred. And we continue. Hakas, anger. Mida ra'a ad me'od. Very bad trait. Ve'etzem mishkana ben chayot hayar ha'teme'ot va'ofot ha'teme'ot. Ha'mashchitim v'dorsim v'torfim ha'pog'im bahem. And its essence is really among the defiled animals of the forest, the defiled birds. You know, a kosher bird has to be an herbivore. If a bird kills other birds or eats insects, that bird is not kosher. The kosher animals are herbivores. They are animals that live on plants. We do not consume animals that are carnivores or omnivores. No kosher animal consumes another animal. So you are what you eat. I mean, it affects us. And this trait of anger, its root is really among the defiled non-kosher animals and birds, the animals that are more destructive, the animals that kill other animals, that gore, that attack other animals. So that's the root of the anger. Where does anger come from? That's really where anger is situated. It's interesting that modern science compares our nostrils flaring and the fact that when a person gets angry, he has a slight tendency to even smile. And they say, the scientists who compare us to animals, they say that animals, as they're about to attack their prey, also do a movement that's like a smile as they reveal their sharp outer teeth. They say that that's an evolution. That's where they say we get it from. As we get angry, we have this tendency to reveal our teeth. So they got one thing right. Chazal say that yes, the trait of anger is really rooted in the animals that devour prey. Upirya saraf me'ofef. Nekima, netira. And the fruit of anger, the anger develops into revenge, into bearing a grudge, la'albin bnei chaverot barabim, to shame someone even publicly. V'chadome. We know there are many other applications that stem from anger. Kama ra'ot rabot nimshachot min hakas. How many terrible things can evolve from anger? Now, the genius in what he just wrote, let's pause for a second, because let's take a case that you walk through the door and someone smacks you. Or let's take something even more difficult. You walk into the Beis Medrash and someone says to you, "Oh, you again? You stink. I can't stand the fact that you're here." Now, you get hurt and you get angry. And the first thing that enters your mind is, I can't stand that person. And I'm right. Look at what he just did to me. Notice what the Magen Midvna did. The Magen Midvna zoned in on the trait. He didn't discuss why. Meaning we would say, of course I'm angry at the person. Look at what he did to me. The Magen Midvna isn't discussing why. He's saying you have to look at anger and see what it is. It's something bad. It's something evil. It stems from defilement. And it produces negative behavior. Now you'll say, wait a second, does that mean I should just forgo what people do to me? It's a good question. I have a saying that really ticks people off. When I get angry, so the people who are close to me will sometimes ask me, why are you angry? And I always try to answer the same answer. I say, I'm angry because I'm not a good enough person yet. Because I haven't yet worked on myself enough. Now, what my response is, that's a separate question. It could be that I have to do something. It could be I have to protect myself. It could be I have to take care of the other party. It could be my actions will have to be defensive or offensive. That's true. But why am I angry? I'm angry because I'm not a good enough person. If I would work on myself more, I wouldn't get angry. I might get even. I might do other things. I might deal with the situation. I might have to deal one way or another. But I don't have to get angry. Yes?
Isn't there a gradual way how to get from what you just described for us and the ideal situation at least trying to talk about it?
Let's see.
Oh, he's going to talk about
it? Let's see. We just started. I'm just saying the introduction removed the cause. We always have excuses why we're angry.
Well, that's what I'm trying to exactly to say. To a certain degree, it's normal to get angry, maybe, but what you're doing afterwards.
So if I recognize that anger isn't a good thing, then I will try to diffuse the anger.
Sometimes you don't have it under control. You just get angry, but what you do with the anger is something different.
Or maybe we should realize that anger is a problem. Our sages say whenever we get angry, we make mistakes.
Yeah, but it's a feeling that comes up you can't control.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
There's a difference between becoming angry and getting into a rage. It's like letting
but we can control anger too. We can. Look, there are so many applications here. I'll give you a small one, okay? When I was a kid, I had just turned 14 and I was hit by a car. And I was riding a bike, car pulled out of a driveway, hit the bike. I went headfirst into a rock, my mouth went into the rock, I broke my teeth, I was hospitalized, my whole face for graduation day was like swollen and black and blue. And then I wanted to go to summer camp. I went to summer camp. My whole face blew up. I got a terrible infection in my gums. They needed to operate on me. I spent the summer in surgery, having my gums operated on. Okay, I went through this whole trauma of having my teeth repaired, my gums operated on. Fine. Let's zoom forward. 5 years ago. Someone walks up to me with a baseball bat and bashes me on the mouth again. At that moment, I feel a ringing pain that's reminiscent of what happened 20 years ago. And I say to myself, that wasn't good. So it was a toy bat. It wasn't, you know, but it was bad enough that I realized I was having problems. And sure enough, I needed to be operated on again for about 3 years. I went through operations. Meaning this ended about 2 years ago. 2.5 years ago, to be exact. I went through, I don't know how many root canals and everything else. Now, when it happened, I said to myself, I got problems. Meaning the minute the person hit me with a baseball bat, I said to myself, now I have a problem. I realized at that second, I realized because the doctor had warned me. That's why I don't play sports. Whenever you guys have a sports day, I never partake. Because the doctor warned me, don't play sports because if you ever get hit here again, the whole story can unravel. Everything we did can unravel and then you got bigger problems because it's the second time. And at that split second, you know, the guy hits me with a bat and I know now I'm in for it. That's it. How do I react to the person who hit me with a baseball bat? How do I react? So I'm not sure if I should tell you one more detail or I should tell you how I reacted first. No, I'll tell you the truth. Let me tell you what happened. I looked down to the floor, saddened, because I knew what was waiting for me now, and walked away. You know why? Because it was my 3-year-old son who hit me with a bat. Okay? Now, okay, that was the one factor you were missing, right? So when it's your 3-year-old son, you tell yourself, I got a problem, right? But I don't hate him. I'm not upset at him. He was playing with me. You know, he didn't mean any harm. He didn't do anything wrong. He's fine. He's 100%, right? I'm stupid for playing with him with a bat. Or whatever. Or even if I'm not stupid, because he was a little too rowdy. So what? So now, you see how one factor could change the whole story? And I really went through 2 to 3 years of surgery since then. It cost me, I think, around 20,000 shekel. That's a lot of money. I'm saying that the amount of operations I had to go through those 3 years. So, I'm saying, you know, when it's your son, so then you say, what can I do? I just looked down, looked away, and I didn't want him to feel bad because, like, from his end, he was just joking around. He hit me in the face with the bat. You know, okay, it's wrong, but for a 3-year-old, you're like, okay, I'll teach him a different time. To myself, I was on the verge of tears. I knew where I was headed. But if it's your son, suddenly you have patience. If it's someone else, you say, wait a second, he just hit me. Look what he did to me. Did he mean to do it? Did he know what he was doing? You know, someone jokes with you and hits you with a bat and you realize what he just did to you, you're ready to blow a gut. You don't say, look at what you know, he didn't think about it, he didn't realize. But why? So if we work on ourselves, if we can develop a connection with our fellow man and an acceptance of our fellow man and patience with our fellow man, even when our fellow man has wronged us, we can stop and say, maybe not. You know, I get wronged many times. The second you're dealing with people, so then people deal with you, and inevitably there are misunderstandings all the time. And if you judge, if you give people the benefit of the doubt, you spend life being less upset. And there's always reason to be upset. So always. If we're going to use the cause as a justification for the anger, so then we'll always be justified in being angry. Yeah.
I was just thinking, when a teenager, for example, changes the things that he gets angry about, after a few years, for example, he wouldn't get angry about certain comments that you would make to him. That kind of proves that we can change the things we get angry about in time, right?
For sure.
If we can change that, then there might be a lot of flexibility to control your anger. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been working on my anger my whole life. Still working on it.
It's a learning process.
It's a learning process, right? But I think he's giving us a tremendous tool here. Because when we get angry, we focus on what caused the anger. And the Magen Midovna is saying, stop. You have a problem because you got angry. In itself, anger is not a good thing. Even if you're going to have to deal, you're much better off dealing out of anger, not being in anger. I had times where my wife asked me, why didn't you react to the kid? The kid was disrespectful to you. And I said, I got upset. I felt I can't do it right. What's going to answer is the anger in me, not the educator in me. I'm not going to answer the kid. I'm not going to get it right. I'm not going to do it right. So there'll be another opportunity. I'll get it right. Our sages wanted us to understand how extremely evil this trait is. Our sages said, whoever gets angry, it's as though he worshipped an idol. Because he lost control. When we act out of anger, we are not controlling what's going on here. Who's greater than Moshe? Our sages said about him, our sages say, you know why Moshe made the mistake of his life? Because he got angry. When a person gets angry, that's when a person errs. Our rule in life should be, when I get angry, I don't act. Let me calm down.
Is it true that Moshe Rabbeinu had an anger problem? Some say that he had an anger problem. I don't know why
someone would say that. He made a mistake when he got angry.
That scares me.
Yeah, it's a scary thought.
That scares me. That he got angry.
That Moshe got angry, right? The Rambam says one of the lessons it teaches us is to have more patience with ourselves when we are imperfect. Because we see even the greatest of men was imperfect. When we see that Moshe got angry, it tells us that our foibles are part of the human condition, and that should give us more patience for ourselves, even though we're not perfect, yeah? Moshe wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. I have to be a work in progress, though. I better be working on it.
That's no question. Let's do
it. Yeah.
Can we go a bit deeper into the relationship between getting angry and as if it's doing a avodah zarah?
So, the idea is that when we let anger take control, so then what we're basically saying is, I do not maintain control over my actions. There are times when I will release control to the Yetzer Hara, to my evil inclinations. And then, the Gemara says, once you enter that habit, So then, initially, the Yetzer Hara drives us to do this, just to yell at someone improperly. And then later on, the Yetzer Hara drives us to ultimately serve Avodah Zarah. And I would say, my own interpretation in this Gemara, perhaps, I'm saying, I didn't see this anywhere, but I'm saying maybe what the Gemara is alluding to is that if you allow yourself to be an angry person, if we allow ourselves that excuse that he got me upset, so then it's only a matter of time till that excuse applies to God as well. You know, I told the story here where a guy came to me once and said, "I hate all rabbis but you." And I wanted to stay away from him because I said to myself, well, if he hates everyone else, it's only a matter of time till he hates me too. You know, if no one's kosher, no one's good, so then eventually, what am I going to be any different? You know, he can't tell me everyone's wrong but me. If everyone else is wrong, then in time he'll find where I'm wrong too. So that's the way people are. If a person is a hateful person, ultimately he'll find cause to hate everyone. If a person is an angry person, ultimately he'll find cause to be angry, even at God. I would add another point here, that there's at the root of anger, there's a certain rigidity. There's a certain element of lack of flexibility. How dare you do this to me? Meaning I am not going to give in to this. And the second we have that factor, so then it's only a matter of time till a person says that towards heaven too. Okay. Yeah. In marriage, people have this all the time. You can't expect me to put up with this. I put up with A and B and C. I'm going to put up with D too. Well, if I can say that to my wife, then what's going to stop me from saying that to heaven too? I put up with A, B, and C. Come on. Okay, again, the key here is the attitude. It's not that a person has to forgo everything in life. But you're far more productive and you'll do what's right when you do it without anger. You know, this Shabbos, in the newsletter that we have in the shul, so I wrote a piece on how a parent should react when he catches his teenagers stealing from him. He discovers his 12-year-old son, his 14-year-old son, has been taking money out of his wallet. So one of the key points in dealing with a child in such a situation is focusing on what's wrong with this behavior. What often happens is the parent gets angry. It's not anger. The issue isn't that he took your money. The issue is that the child is doing something wrong. If I get angry, then the message I'm conveying to the kid is, you can't steal from me. That's not the message. The message is, you shouldn't be stealing. That's not a way to behave. So we have to be careful. And again, in many areas of our life, almost in all areas of our life, anger is counterproductive. That doesn't mean you shouldn't feign anger. Sometimes you have to fake anger. That's true. You know, one of our kids once got into this bad habit of climbing into the freezer. Now, that's very dangerous. You know, kids die that way. It's not a joke. If you don't get angry at the kid, if you don't show him that you're very upset by it, I once had a kid tell me, "Dad, why can't I put a fork in the socket?" And I said, "If you try to put a fork in the socket, I'm going to break every bone in your body." So he looks at me and says, I said, "You think I'm joking?" So what's the message? If your intellect is not going to understand that it's dangerous, so then I need you to be scared of putting the fork in the socket. Now, obviously, I don't have any thought to break a single bone in his body. But I have to get him to understand. I've never said a word like that to him in his life. So he looked at me like, "What? What did you just say?" I said, "You heard me. I explained it to you. I told you not to put a fork in the socket. You're not understanding and you're arguing with me. What would happen? Are you sure this would happen?" So then it's not up for the discussion. Yeah, I have to show him I'm angry. But that's for his safety. Am I really angry? No, I'm super concerned. You better not do it, right? I'm very concerned. I'm not angry. But he has to think I'm angry. He has to think I'd be very upset if he did it. Okay. והכועס פרנסתו מצויה מאוד כמו לנחש. בכל מקום שהוא לחמו תחתיו. If a person's an angry person, so then he'll find many supports for his anger. No different than the snake who has food wherever he goes. כן הכעס יתעורר אצל הכועס בכל מדרך כף רגלו. By the same token, a person who's angry, every step he takes, he'll find reason to be angry. ויחס על כל דבר, and he'll find himself getting angry over everything. אם רק הסינה קדמה בליבו למצוא כאן לה לסנוע את רעהו, אז על נקלה ייחס על כל הדברים אשר יראה ממנו. And he says, the root of it is hatred in his heart. If he's found a basis for hatred in his heart, if he's found that basis for hating this other guy, there's a reason for it, so then it's so easy to be upset over anything he sees by him. And anything the guy does to him, he'll find reason to be upset with him. It doesn't matter if he says right, you feel like saying left. If he says left, you feel like saying right. And as it says, it doesn't matter what song a person sings if one's heart is evil. When you feel badly at someone, even if they're singing, it bothers you. But they're singing. Yeah, but he's singing. ולכן אמרו חזל, and that's why our sages said, אל תרצה את חברך בשעת כעסו. Don't try to appease someone when they're angry. כי הכועס הוא אש. When a person's angry, it's like fire. ועומד לנגדו לניצוץ. And if you come and try to talk to him, all you are is a spark trying to ignite the fire. וברו שניהם יחדיו ואין מכבה. It'll just add to the flame. There's no one to talk to. When a person's angry, that's not the time to talk to them. So people sometimes ask, should I try to make a person see it's not so bad? Or should I commiserate with a person? It depends on at what stage you catch the person. At the funeral, a person needs you to cry with him. He doesn't need you to tell him, look, there's a silver lining around every cloud and life goes on and there's a future. That's not what he needs to hear then. The first 3 days after a person lost their relative, they need you to cry with them. That's all they need. They need someone to share the pain with. Later on, you help a person see beyond it. You help a person see that there's also a future. There are stages in life. When a person's angry, that's not the time to try to appease them. Chazal said, don't try to appease him when he's angry. It's not going to work. He's angry, fine. People sometimes make this mistake with their kids. You can have a kid that's going off the handle. And then the parents try to talk to him reason. Who said you should talk to him reason? Tell him, you know, calm down and then we'll talk. You don't... Maybe what you have to teach him is to calm down. Maybe you have to teach him that his anger, he shouldn't let his anger get the better of him. But you have to realize you're dealing with anger, you're not going to try to appease him. Tov, so what did we learn today? We learned that anger is a very evil trait. We said it stems from the defiled animals that will devour their prey. And anger produces revenge and enmity to the point where one can even shame one publicly. And our sages said that when a person gets angry, it's as though he worshipped idols. And even Moshe, when he got angry, he made a mistake. If a person allows himself to get angry, he'll find many reasons to get angry. And anger stems from hatred. If you hate, so then it's so easy to get angry at someone. Doesn't matter what the person does, you get angry at them. And so our sages said, don't try to appease someone when they're angry. Because the anger has to subside, then you can deal. And you pointed out, Benjamin pointed out correctly, that we have to be aware that anger can be controlled. We can channel it, we can control it, and we can reach a point where it's almost eradicated. The root is to sense when it's coming and nip it at the bud. Notice how to stop it. And that knowledge that I can control it is very empowering. We can control it. We're going to discuss it, but one of the simple tools is our behavior. If you smile, if you talk calmly, so then that helps us control the anger.